Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of the summer, is about 2 months away. Residents all around Chicago are hoping it doesn't herald another season of gun violence. Mayor Johnson's administration has a plan, and this weekend, we talk with officials who can explain how this approach could be different. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. A couple of weeks ago, Mayor Brandon Johnson outlined the latest phase of his People's Plan for Community Safety. It's described as a community-led initiative bringing together a constellation of entities from government and business to neighborhood organizations, young people, and philanthropists. The aim is to keep the city's streets safer. The announcement came on the West Side, and we are back here at the site of the Garfield Park Right to Wellness Collaborative to find out what all of this means for the folks on the blocks. Joining me for this half hour is Garion Gatewood, Chicago's Deputy Mayor for Community Safety, and our host is Gregory Matthews, Community Engagement Officer at the Community Safety Coordination Center, and I thank both of you for joining me. Garion Gatewood, I said the word safety several times since we started this broadcast. Let me ask the obvious question on people's minds. How will this plan help to make the streets safer?
Craig, so thank you for the question and thank you for having us this morning. This plan is going to do a lot to help keep people safer because this is going to be driven and is driven by people. We've been very intentional about how we've started to build this out and by really working through community-based organizations along with every partner in city government. I think this is a way that we're going to have to approach it, being collaborative, being thoughtful, and being precise. We know that violence in the city of Chicago in particular, is not like anywhere else in the world, anywhere else in the country. But what we also know is it is solidified to some blocks. And if we take a precision approach, we expect great outcomes.
Gregory Matthews, politicians say they're ready to listen to what communities want and need all the time, but the West and the South Sides especially have heard those words before and seen those words seem to drift off into the ether after a few weeks. So what changes now?
The people in charge. I think a lot of times, and not just city government, but just in life, when we get used to certain institutions failing us, we just start to associate failure with those institutions. In this situation, we have a new city government. We have new people in charge who are taking not just anybody, though. Like most people know, the mayor was a community organizer himself at one point. He was actually out here doing this work. So it's a lot different this time around because of the people. I've had more interaction with Mr. Gatewood here than I have had with anyone in city government in my entire time in this job. And he is the deputy mayor. For me to have that much accessibility to him, for me to see the activity that his team is putting forth, and the actual action that we're seeing from the departments, that's what gives me hope in the concept of them being able to create the space for us to be able to actually create change.
Garion Gatewood, before we talk about how the government's part of this is going to function, talk to me a little bit about the kinds of community groups that the administration's looking for. What do you see is their role, both in what they can do on the streets, but also what they can tell the people at City Hall?
We want this to be a hand-in-hand relationship. When we look for our community-based organizations on top of the ones that we've been working with, you know, we're looking for basically an anchor organization, folks who've been working on quality of life plans, because we know that safety is more than just numbers of violence, right? It is how we invest in people. It is how we put resources in community. And it's also how people can drive that effort. You know, this is why this approach is so different. We want the community-based organizations to actually help guide the work that is needed in their communities. What's needed in West Garfield Park is not the same as what's needed in Little Village. It's not the same as what's needed in Roseland. So you have to let those community leaders help guide those conversations so we can make sure as a government we show up in a way that we haven't shown up before, so people understand who in government needs to do what. And we want those community-based organizations to really help drive that alongside of us and do this hand-in-hand in partnership.
Greg Matthews, tell me a little bit about what you're doing here on West Washington. And I know that this is part of a greater organization. Tell me, what are the kinds of things that your people are out in this neighborhood doing?
That's a lot to say, and I'm proud to be part of all the work that's going on the West Side, on the greater West Side. As part of the Garfield Park Right to Wellness Collaborative, we are part of the Sankofa Wellness Village, which is a project that has been awarded the Chicago Prize. That's a $10 million grant that we have been awarded to basically do everything that we can to create wellness in our space. That has a lot of partnership with the city of Chicago. So I'm also honored to be part of the CSCC, which is the Community Safety Coordination Center, also part of the city of Chicago. In this collaboration, in this very unique position that I hold, I'm actually able to get city government resources that the community has so desperately been lacking for so long, actually to the community in real time. That means that when we have a festival, when we have an organized event, when we create safe spaces in our community, which we intentionally do, specifically during the summertime, then I am able to immediately, turnkey, real time, get anything that we need, whether that be the street blocked off, police presence, porta potties, whatever it may be, tents, anything that the city can provide for citizens, I can immediately get for community members in real time. And when I say immediately, I mean obviously within a 2 week or sufficient time frame,
but all they have in government that's a whirlwind.
I had to correct that, but at the same time, it's very important to understand that there is no red tape, there's no kickback, there's no paperwork. They ask for it, community members ask for it, organizations ask for it, and the city responds. And when I say we have coordination from city departments, this is unprecedented and has never happened before. When I have actually been in the room with the commissioners and actually giving them praise for the response time of not just them cleaning graffiti off of the walls, but also them bringing garbage cans out to us, from them cleaning garbage off of our streets. I can call Streets and Sands and get things cleaned up within 24, 48 hours. We've never had that in our community. And the more we do, the bigger it gets, and they're just doubling down on our support. So we've gotten a lot from them.
Tell me why getting garbage off the streets and you know, making them cleaner for people is a public safety concern.
First and foremost, when you drive through a neighborhood, everyone, no matter what your color, you know exactly what kind of neighborhood is based on what it looks like. If I'm driving through Gold Coast, I expect to see a certain thing. And when I'm driving on the west side of Chicago, unfortunately, I also expect to see a certain thing. When we take our beautification of our city seriously, it literally shows the community that they care just as much about me as they do about them. If that's not the case, then obviously it's the inverse.
Let me ask you one other question. What is it that you feel government needs to know? What are the things that they haven't realized about this neighborhood before that they really need to know if we're going to make these streets safer?
And that is the perfect question right there, sir, because that is exactly what's happening right now. They know exactly what they need to know, and what they need to know is that they have to give us the power. They have to give us the control and give us the ability to take our nephews, our sons, our daughters, our cousins, our mothers and fathers off the street in a negative way. The highest opportunity individuals in our community have to be given opportunity so that they can be given the right chance. There's a lot of crime in our community that we cannot do anything about, but there is a lot of crime in our community that we can prevent and that we can do something about right now if we galvanize as a community. And we have a lot of things that we are doing right now. One of them coming up on April 13th, where we're going to be having a march, where we have literally gotten together most of the most powerful gangs in the community. They're going to be marching themselves that in support of City of Chicago. We're going to be having a resource fair at the end of May. That resource fair will literally be the entire City of Chicago coming to the West Side, giving all resources, all opportunities that you could have to get downtown. You'll be able to get it right inside the Golden Dome. These are things that the city is giving us and helping us with support all throughout the summer. We're going to have activities and things just like that so that we can continue to control the culture of our community so they understand that there's about to be change.
Karen Gatewood, clearly officials in the city have chosen well in choosing this group. Who is making the choices, and how do you replicate that through the four districts that you're going to be operating in primarily?
Yeah, so let me give you a little background on how we got to the communities that we selected, but I'll answer your other question first. Who's making the choices? The community's making the choices. This is why we're putting RFPs out for community members to come together and decide this is who needs to apply and this is who should be our anchor organization to represent us in this partnership with the Mayor Johnson's administration and the community-based organization to move the people's plan forward. But let me walk you through how we got here, Craig. We started on June 1st in this office. I started June 1st of last year. We had 29 meetings with over 300 stakeholders throughout city government, philanthropy, business, community-based organizations, faith leaders, you name it. What we did throughout that time was we had to set a framework on what was real, what we could actually work on, and also understanding what every other department and every other agency was working on. After we set those parameters, we ended up with 20 initiatives with around 9 separate areas. We had our people-based work that focused on youth of highest promise, adults of highest promise, and victims and survivors of crime. And then we had our place-based work that focused on education, health, policing, community violence intervention, community environment, and economic opportunity and upward mobility. We pulled these things together, and under each of those, we have pillars. Under each of those pillars, there's initiatives, at least 2 to 3 initiatives that have teams, 20 initiative teams that were all launched at once. And then we went to the alders after we did our research to determine from the top 50, where school closures were, 50 school closures, the most violent beats in the city according to CPD data. We also looked at unemployment rates. We looked at percentages of folks who had high school diplomas. We looked at household median income, the percentage of vacant lots in communities, all of these things that lead to safety, right? We pull all of that together, and then the data showed us where the most violent blocks in the city were. But not just the most violent blocks, the most disinvested blocks, because disinvestment leads to violence. And after that, we sat down with alders to say, who in your community are we missing from these conversations? Help us identify the right folks you know who are on the ground doing real work in your communities. Not the folks who say they're doing work and take credit for it. Who are the people who are actually doing real work in your communities? Help us identify them so we can work with them, and then help us open those doors up even more. Because this is a movement to really create safety in areas of the city that have been purposely ignored for far too long. This is why we are in West Garfield Park. This is why we are in Austin. This is why we are in Inglewood. This is why we are in Little Village to start. And what we want to do is we're going to replicate this model to different parts of the city. The areas in the city that we are not doing this deep dive in, they don't lose the support that they already have. In fact, some of them will see increased support from violence intervention, from deployment strategies, from CPD, from our victim services work. That expansion continues to go. But this deep dive that we're doing in these four communities is not like anything the city's ever done before. We're going to take this model and we're going to replicate it to other places, because it's not about if it will work. It's about when it will work, because we're letting community lead this, because folks are living through this every day and they know what is needed. And it's not our responsibility to come in and say, government says you need to do this. No, This is for the people, and this is why it's called the People's Plan.
How do you make sure that some areas aren't more active than others in getting more resources and help than others? You know, you've got four centers of operation. Mm-hmm. How do you keep them all moving at a good pace?
So luckily for us, I've been fortunate, and we've been fortunate in administration to not only have folks who we have assigned to each of these working groups, but also the anchor organizations in those communities will play a huge role in continuing to make sure the work is moving along. What we did in a lot of the communities is we compared the People's Plan for Community Safety up against the quality of life plans. So we know that work can continue to go. Now we know West Garfield Park is working on launching a quality of life plan, and we want to be right there with them step by step. Because when you look at a lot of QLPs, which is a quality of life plan, a lot of them have never really had government stakeholders in throughout the entire process. That's what's missing. When we talk about infrastructure needs in communities, we talk about access to buildings in communities, we talk about guaranteed basic income, we talk about access to employment. These are things that government can bring hand in hand with our partners in these communities. So this is how we'll drive, because again, a lot of these needs are different in different spaces. So it's up to us to, one, let people lead, let community lead, but make sure we show up in a way that we've never shown up before.
You're listening to News Radio 780's At Issue. I'm political editor Craig Delamore. We're talking about Mayor Brandon Johnson's community community anti-crime plans with Deputy Mayor Gary Gatewood and Gregory Matthews, Community Engagement Manager for the Garfield Park Community Center. Throughout his campaign and since taking office, Mayor Johnson has at many opportunities said investing in neighborhoods is the key to developing strong and safe communities. So for the investment, who is doing the investing, and you know, where are the resources coming from?
Yeah, so I'm excited about that, because this is a bit of a spoiler alert, Craig, so you get a scoop here. We're in the process of revamping all of our ARPA resources right now so we can get dollars out to people. You saw throughout the budget process where the mayor committed $100 million to violence intervention and violence prevention services, which includes gender-based violence. It includes street outreach. It includes youth services. It includes victim services. But also $250 million to fight the homeless crisis that we're seeing for citizens in the city of Chicago. But there's also this work that's being done that the mayor announced, a $1.25 million bond, which will not only spur housing, but also investment in communities in the vacant lots that we've seen. The number of vacant lots, and I know we're in West Garfield Park, so if you'll oblige, I'll talk about Inglewood for just a second.
Sure.
In Inglewood, just a couple of blocks up from Kennedy King College, there are hundreds of vacant lots, hundreds. And you look at some of the median income in some of these spaces, right? So the median income for the city, according to our data, was $66,000. In some of the communities that we're in, it's $22,000. So when we talk about investing in people, this is how we open up opportunities for employment. You think about the partnerships that we have, both inside government and outside government. There's a $100 million commitment that has been made by the business and philanthropic community to expand and scale community violence intervention. $100 million going to six communities to really build and expand that operation, which includes West Garfield Park, which includes Austin, which includes Inglewood, which includes Little Village, but it also includes Humble Park, and it also includes Greater Grand Crossing and the work that they're doing in partnership with us. And it's also the jobs that they've committed. But it's not just about the jobs that they've committed. It's about the jobs that we are committing as a city. In this budget, the mayor put $78 million into youth employment. Last year, we hired nearly 25,000 young folks. Our goal this year is to get to 30,000 young folks and increase year-round employment. But it doesn't stop there, because we also have to look at ways we open up pathways to city employment. What's it look like for a person to have access to city employment who may be making $22,000 a year based on the average that we're seeing on some of these blocks, to move into a job with the city where you have a pension, where you have health care, where you have benefits? We are trying to change the trajectory of the city with a holistic approach, and at the same time understanding that there are areas of the city that need a different touch and a different level of support. So we have not stopped any of our work with our police. We have not stopped any of our work with our violence intervention. None of that other work is stopping. We're investing in people, and we want to replicate this model because we know investing in people who have been purposely disinvested in leads to the change that we all need to see.
I want to come back to what will be going on with the police, but Greg Matthews, what are the kinds of things that you expect to see in the neighborhoods that will give people a sense that there is change, that they can be safer? What can change the minds of, frankly, some of the mostly young people who are out there who are living a different kind of life, a life where violence is just another way of expressing yourself?
Yeah, I would answer that with actual tangible change, things they have to see. Conversation and talking is not ever going to create any type of inertia or any type of goodwill on the West Side. You have to see what's going to happen. So one of the things that we've already been blessed with is the change that we've seen on Madison and Pulaski already. There was already an investment made in the corridor where we had a skate park created already. This administration has supported that skate park, and now we're building it up even farther, going higher in the air with it and doing more with it, which we'll activate again this summer. And that's free, park district driven, and it's completely free for community members to just come in, literally have a good time with your kids, come in. We're going to have more refreshments. We're going to have it bigger and better, and we're going to continue to build on that. That's completely community driven and city driven, and that's something that this community has never seen before. You'd be so surprised when you see someone who's born and raised in Garfield Park, right, walk past Madison Pulaski and say, well, this is all free? Yeah, it's free for you. Now, if I lived in Naperville or somewhere like that, that would be something common. But no, we're doing that right here for you. We're going to do the same thing with Sankofa Wellness Village. Again, it's a city-supported initiative that we're putting together that's going to actually create a wellness village in the Garfield Park corridor, in Madison Pulaski corridor. So you're going to have a wellness center that community members can go into and actually get resources that they so desperately need. We're going to have the Myoffa Arts Center, which is part of the Myoffa Redemption Project, which is run by New Mount Pilgrim Bradford Church and Marshall Hatch. They're going to be, and Reverend Hatch, they're going to be putting together an opportunity for young men who are part of the Redemption Project to literally be exposed to art, traveling, things that they could never conceptualize. When these things, which are already paid for, when we're finished building these things, and these things are, even when we break the ground, we'll be able to change the energy, the culture, the thought process on how you can get money. You don't have to do this to get that. We're going to create different ways and different opportunities for you, just like they have on the other side of town. You don't have to do this anymore. You're not going to be looked at in a different way just because you don't have to do this anymore. You're going to be able to become a whole community member, a whole citizen, be able to do whatever you want to do as a young person. And we're going to show you how to do that. We're going to show you how to do that, and it's going to be wonderful when that change happens.
I know that for kids who are searching, seeing those things certainly would be a draw. But is that enough for the kids who are walking around with guns thinking, but I can get this, I can get much more money than that quickly by going to this place and holding up somebody?
That's a great question, because one of the realizations that we're going to have to face is that not everybody is going to be affected by the positive change that we have. There are certain people in the community who do not want things to change. That's on both sides of it. We'd be really remiss to not say that. There are people in government who don't want anything to change. There are people on the street who don't want anything to change, but this has nothing to do with them. This is about the things that we're going to be doing to actually create change for the majority, for those who want peace and tranquility in their community. And that's the majority. So yes, you're right. There are going to be some people who buck the system, but that's what the police are for. That's why the government supporting us is so valuable. When we get a safe place activation together and we have someone who wants to be a bad actor, we're definitely going to be able to deal with that in real time. And with the support of the city, we know that's not going to be an issue.
Karen Gatewood, that brings us to the part that I wanted to talk about. What are the police going to be doing during this kind of development, this kind of change, and how do they have to change?
Police have been working with us hand in hand throughout this entire process. We have an entire policing pillar that not only looks at the workforce allocation study, it looks at our 911 call analysis. And that's important because it helps us determine what calls of services are coming, what actual calls of services are something that police need to respond to, or where we may need an alternate response, or where we can divert attention and resources to other areas. Police have played a huge role in this because they also helped us identify the hardest hit areas in the city. Right, Craig, if you remember at the top of shit, the way we ended up picking these communities is we looked at the most violent beats in CPD. So understanding, like Greg just mentioned, that there will be some folks who will need a different level of enforcement from CPD, right? There are folks who want to see change in communities and theirs who don't. We have to put the opportunities in front of people to make that change. And we also have to rely on our members of law enforcement to help. We've consistently asked them to do entirely too much. Police should be focused on violent crime, right? So what's it mean for us to focus on other areas and give them the support that's necessary? What's it mean to create positive change around them? What's it mean to actually work more hand in hand with police? People often talk about a lack of trust in police. I think people have a lack of trust in government in general, and this is why government has to show up in a different way. And that includes police, right? Because often what you see is after 5 o'clock, it looks like the only government that is there is police because they are so visible. They are so visible. So there's a lot of focus on police. We also have to wrap them in support because guess what? They are in community. They are part of a community. They want to see a safer city, too. I don't know any police officer that wants to continue to show up to 75, 80, whatever many calls per day. They want to see a safer community as well, just like all of us. So regardless of where we sit on political views and political beliefs, regardless of who folks voted for, regardless of where folks stand, we can all agree that we want a safer city. We can all agree that West Garfield Park deserves to be safer. We can all agree that there needs to be more investment in communities that have been purposely disinvested in, and that comes in partnership with police. This is not a plan that is anti-police or anti-this or anything like that. We work hand in hand with police. I talked to Superintendent Snell, and I've often said this joke, but it's not a joke, it's reality. I talk to him more than I talk to my wife. So we spend a lot of time together, and it's important because our work is hand in hand, understanding deployment strategies, and not just from a deployment of CPD resources. How do we deploy resources across all city government? How do we make sure city government partners understand that we all have a role in safety? And that's the work that we've been doing. That's the work we're really excited about.
We've only got about a minute or so left, but one other element that we need to talk about is, you know, getting the activities and the attention into the area is one thing. Getting businesses in, getting more jobs has to be, I would think, another major part. How do you change the minds of the businesses that have been leaving areas like this?
Yeah, so that's a huge, huge portion of our safety plan, right? When I mentioned economic opportunity and upward mobility, that comes from two pillars. It's looking at how do we invest in guaranteed basic income in communities, and how do we also invest in job training and partnership with the city. We've had partners like the Shawcook Workforce, Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, the Civic Committee with their commitment to several thousand jobs for CVI graduates. And we're going to continue that. We've had partners like Amazon and others. We're going to continue that work because it's not just on the business community to hire folks. We have thousands of vacancies in the city. We have to do a better job of expediting that process to get folks in with city employment. There's thousands of vacancies in county employment, too. What we have to do is, like Greg mentioned earlier, we actually have to bring these jobs into community so people can know this is what's available. This is how we want to lower the unemployment rate and get W-2s in folks' hands, because we know that W-2s can help drive violence down. So these are our goals. We want to lower the unemployment rate. We want to invest in people. We want to help keep the city safe. And this is how we'll do it.
That is a good final word for us. Thank you very much. I want to thank Deputy Mayor Garion Gatewood and Gregory Matthews with the Garfield Park Right to Wellness Collaborative. Thank you both for joining me for this. To our listeners, if you want a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website at wbbmnewsradio.com. You can also find our podcast on odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dellamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.